Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday, the 15th of February. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Moore. Luke, how the fucking shit are you, sunshine?
That's accurate. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
It feels. But I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. To be honest, lockdown is just getting a complete pain in the ass now, but I don't think people listening to this want to hear that. So I'm going to gloss over it and say, I'm doing bloody fine. Thank you very much for asking. How are you, Mr. Musketeer Man?
How's you? I'm furious. Jim Campbell from the Football Ramble. I was doing a show with him this morning with Kate, and he has shaved off his beard part of his ensemble, and now he's just got a big moustache. Now, that was going to be my out, but I've got a spot on my chin, and I don't want people to see it. Nightmare.
Yeah, he looks great. I mean, we say this every week now. He looks great. I think he's looks so good that if he gets to look any better, we're going to have to invite him on this show to give us the secrets of the pharaohs. How did he actually do it? Talk us through it, Jim Campbell, because he used to be a nightmare. Now he looks great.
Yeah. Just have a year off stand-up by the sounds of it.
Yeah. His most improved player, Pete. He's Gosport Vikings most improved player, which I think is an award I might have won at one point. What was the name of your youth team that you played football for? Oh, you weren't into football when you were a kid, were you?
No, I mean, the first football team I played for was Brian Honor's Soccer Club in the summer. Yeah. We used to play a bit of that every now and again. Yeah, disappointing,
I was a
really.
Gosport Viking.
Oh, and you look a bit like a Viking as well. That kind of works.
I played in gold and black, and I started playing for them under nines, full size pitch. Full-size pitch. Absolutely ridiculous looking back at it now. 1989. I didn't think anything different, though.
No. Speaking of Vikings, did you see that Ted Cruz has got himself a cheeky little alt-right Viking cut?
What, haircut?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
If you've not seen it, give us a little treat. Type it into your little computer. Ted Cruz haircut. You will be astonished at the results. Okay. You'll be surprised what the results are.
What's he done that for? It's a mullet.
It's a little ebb drip, isn't it? It's a little ice hockey hair, isn't it? It's a little.
Why do you reckon he's done that?
Forbidden hair. I'm just going from the song The Vandals.
What's your theory?
I think it's a tip of the hat, a little bit of a dog whistly whistle to his alt-right brethren. But he's a man of advancing years who's grown Gladstone-style mutton chops, and he's setting it off lovely with an undercut. It's just an astonishing bit of hair work. And it's Ted Cruz, the notable non-masturbator.
Yeah. Well, he claims to be a non-masturbator. Debunked, wasn't it? It was debunked by his roommate at college. But so if he's tipping his hat to the alt-right with that haircut, I mean, I feel like I must ask this question on behalf of our listenership. Who are you tipping your hat to?
The Iberian conquistadors of Europe.
I was going to take some kind of Victor Hugo-esque protagonist, surely. And also, Peter, now we record this with the old video format, I can see two things which I can't normally see.
Oh.
One is I can see myself in your glasses, which is unsettling. And I can see the occasional car go past in the background.
Yes, you can, because there's kind of two levels outside my room. There's like my room, my office, the spare bedroom where I'm banished from, and my things and my trinkets are allowed to live here. Behind us, there's like there's a raised road that goes behind the house over the road. And I just often think that if someone stopped at any point they could just look over into this room at any point during the day or night and
see you masturbating,
see the picture of the image of you reflected in my glasses, reflected in my webcam.
Yeah, it's a little bit meta. So on today's Luke and Pete show, which is, as ever, the companion to everyday life in lockdown, and we should make it absolutely clear that we are doing absolutely nothing different to anyone listening, unless you're a frontline worker, in which we salute you and you're out and about doing stuff, and good on you, keeping the country afloat. I'm not talking to you, Mr. Head of Wetherspoons, moaning again today. I'm talking about the proper frontline workers. We are sat at home doing absolutely nothing, which, as you can probably imagine, makes it remarkably hard to do a two half an hour shows about what we've been up to. But I will say this, Pete Donaldson. I will say this. I saw something earlier today that five kids doctors, they're called paediatricians, but in these straitened times, that can be misconstrued.
I was thinking of the kid doctor, not Dr. Zhivago. What's his name?
Doogie Howser.
Doogie Howser.
How can you confuse Doogie Howser with Dr. Zhivago?
Both qualified. Both very qualified.
Doogie Howser was not involved, but I did see five paediatricians who I think, I'm not going to be out of order here because I've got to be sensitive, but they did a video for the BBC website where each of the five of them swallowed a piece of Lego and saw how long it took to come out the other end. And I'm thinking, we're in the middle of a health crisis here. If your boss finds out you're doing that is going to be remarkably poorly received.
Yeah, what if they have to have an operation to get it removed? I mean, it's very brave of them. Did they lather it up with Vaseline first, or?
Wasn't mentioned. They all
no accelerants
swallowed.
Allowed.
Say again?
Curry. There was no like kind of accelerants allowed. Curry,
no.
Coffee, anything like that.
Thankfully, the word accelerant wasn't used at all. they all swallowed a Lego head.
Right.
And monitored how long it took to pass it. And it was part of a kind of public health messaging, I guess, that if your child swallows a Lego head, which is really small,
don't worry about it.
Yeah, because it's generally fine. And the average time it took to pass through the body was 1.7 days. The main guy running the experiment and presenting to camera for the BBC website said he never actually found his Lego man head
because
he reckons he was too anxiously quickly looking through his poo to find it, and he must have missed it.
What was he doing? Was he attacking it with like a broom handle, or why did he have such vigour?
I don't know,
separating
really.
Separating wheat from chaff in
maybe
the
his poo
juices.
Was like maybe his poo was like that Triceratops poo in Jurassic Park. I've been through most of this, but this is getting tedious. It's literally like trying to find a Lego man head in a poo stack.
Maybe Lego man head connected to a Lego man body inside him. Maybe he's got past. He's got previous on this. I don't know. Look, with the knowledge in my mind that we may or may not be working with the good people from Lego in the near future, let's move on.
But no, that's fine. Fair enough. But what I want to say is this. Do kids swallow things these days? Because it was all the rage when I was a kid. People were swallowing shit all the time. Ball bearings, everything.
Well, you know me. I'm always chewing stuff. I'm always biting stuff. I'm always swallowing stuff. I don't think I ever swallowed anything that I couldn't retrieve myself, so to speak.
What does that mean?
Either from the top or the bottom. I don't think there's not, I don't think there's anything I could swallow that kind of... I mean, if you chowed down on one of those long stickle bricks... I think you'd be in trouble. There's a lot of trailing legs on that. They're stickle bricks, for crying out loud. And it'd probably be quite painful to pass. But, Lego, perfect shape. I'm trying to think. Marbles, I think. I could probably get a few marbles down me before it
That's
caused
That's what I'm saying.
A,
so, like, the marbles, I can remember, right, marble. I remember going to a friend's house and playing marbles. And, you know, if you don't know what a marble is when you're listening to this because you're too young, then Google it. But... I remember, mate, honestly, I'm not joking. I remember playing with my mate's marbles, and maybe three of them were coloured a certain way because he had swallowed them and shat them out again. But they were just been disinfected and back into the collection.
Would your body do? I mean, bearing in mind that we're talking about glass, scratchy glass, you know, you used to like get a load of marbles in your hands and go like that.
Yeah.
Scratchy glass. I mean, would your body do any damage to it, really? Would it discolour it, really? If it's been cleaned properly, it wouldn't discolour it, I don't think.
Well, apparently the big issue vis-a-vis kids swallowing stuff is your batteries. We talk batteries a lot on this show. Mm. Little button batteries, little flat batteries. You know, you don't want your kid to be swallowing that because that can cause serious damage, and they are quite swallowable. So be careful, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Don't feed your kids batteries. Look, we are the Luke and Pete Show. We are obsessed with battery brands, battery names, but also battery safety. So just look after yourselves, all right? But
how long is it going to be?
If you're a kid, I want to know.
Yeah, same, 100%. Hello at lukeandpeacher.com. I also want to know how long it's going to be before a superior alien race harvests us and starts using us for batteries.
Good point. What kind of, if you were going to be a battery, what kind of battery would you be?
There was a guy who's, and he's a very well-respected scientist. I think he's out of Harvard, and he's called Avi Loeb. And he, I think it's Avi Loeb, yeah. He's a theoretical physicist, right?
Great Beatles album.
Not my favourite, but very good. He claims, even though, and this is the thing, see, when people are piping up about the fact that they've already been visited by aliens or that they've already visited the Earth and all the rest of it, people just dismiss it, don't they? They say, this is the work. These are the words of a crank, of a of an idiot. Well, Avi Loeb, who's a theoretical physicist at Harvard and actually quite well respected in the intellectual community, has claimed that same thing. Oh, yeah, aliens have definitely visited. We just don't really know how to find them. Now, when he says it, all of a sudden, people take it serious.
Oh, just because he's got a doctorate, like Dr. Zhivago, or let's not forget Doogie Howser, MD.
I don't remember Doogie Howser very much. Do you remember it? It's kind of a thing where the name is remembered more than the show itself.
Yeah, because he became an older boy and was in How I Met Your Mother, I think.
Right.
And he was in...
I haven't seen that either.
He was in It's a Sin recently. So there you go.
People are raving about that as well, aren't they?
Oh, mate, it is emotional. Really, the script, as you'd expect from that chap. I haven't watched a lot of Doctor Who sort of stuff. I don't really know his stuff. I remember Queer as Folk.
Who is it? Russell T. Davies?
I've watched this. Yeah, I've watched Queer as Folk, and then I've watched this. And everything in between, I couldn't give a shit about. This is very good. Russell T. Davies, yeah. But yeah, some really well-rounded depictions of people and a lot of obvious... and not so obvious parallels with the whole COVID thing we've had now. It's religious, how people, you know, don't believe it, believe certain people get it, some believe some other people get it. There's kind of like truthers and stuff like that. It's it's really, really fascinating. Beautifully done. You will cry your bloody eyes out, Luke Moore. So get on it.
Give it a go. Interesting fact for you out there, trivia fans, that the chap who composed the On the Continent theme tune, Blair Moat, is also a composer on Doctor Who.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go. There's your link.
What do you call that? An organ, some kind of organ, isn't it? An accordion.
It's a bit of accordion in there, yeah. A bit of violin, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Peter, I was going to say to you something that I saw a story earlier, which I thought was right up your street. So you know that in some parts of the US, and specifically with this story, I'm talking about the state of California, that police officers are now, they are expected to wear body cameras, right?
Yeah.
To film what happens. And what will happen a lot now in the US is that people, when they have an encounter with the police, they will start filming the encounter themselves on their mobile phones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it probably varies by state, but through a number of different laws, I don't know if the police can stop people actually filming on their phones and stuff. But listen to this. You'll like this because it's horrific, but it's also very clever. What some police apparently has been reported in California have started doing is playing music out of their car the entire time things are happening so that it gets immediately shared. When it gets immediately shared, it gets taken down by the Twitter or Instagram algorithm. What do you think about that?
Have you seen the video of this perfect, like somebody was obviously caught on camera doing this and they do it quite a lot now. There's this worm of a policeman basically just...
Worm.
Not really interested in this guy's like been quite civil with him, and he's going, listen, can you just give us the form and it fill in to do this thing? And he just starts like being really standoffish, but playing Sublime's track Santeria at full volume on his phone. And then later on he's seen outside doing the exact same thing. And all the while, the guy's trying to stand back so he doesn't catch Santeria by Sublime playing, which is a banger and should not be tainted by this story. And if you go in any bar in anywhere south of Houston or Dallas, you hear it pretty fucking constantly. But it's a banger. And this guy's playing it, and the guy's kind of moving away so he doesn't pick up the audio. So the guy's going, "Why are you doing this? Why are you playing that song so that I get copyright struck?" And he's gone, "What? I can't hear you. I can't hear you." This man is the defender of the peace. This is the man he's supposed to be a
to
policeman.
Protect and serve.
Yeah, honestly. Absolutely pathetic.
To protect and to serve you up an amazing slice of pop punk, which you may or may not want. I just thought it was quite an interesting, 21st century story. You have to kind of hand the credit out to the horrific individuals purporting to do this kind of thing. Speaking of that, I was on my computer earlier and I have started to watch. So basically, I don't know if anyone listening's had this, but there's a phenomenon that's apparently been doing the rounds, which is this lockdown headaches thing. Have you heard about it?
No, what's this?
So the idea is it's kind of related to your posture or to the fact that you've got a lot more screen time than before and that you're not commuting to work, so you're not getting a break from your screen. So people are starting to get headaches. And I've started to get them. I've had like probably four in the last few weeks, which is unlike me because I'm normally very well hydrated. But I started to get them. And as a result, I feel like I need to take regular breaks away from my screen. But when I come back to my screen, I occasionally have a TV on in the corner. You can probably see it behind me, Peter. And do you know what I've been putting on? This is a very long-winded, elongated way of saying that I've been putting like relaxing, calming, stress-free TV on the TV. Right. And I stumbled across the most recent Rick Stein series. And it is absolutely tremendous. Have you seen it?
I haven't, but is this not just too distracting? What makes it so chilled?
If I'm having a break or whatever. Right. So realistically, I'm a 21st century boy, so I'm not just going to sit there eating my lunch just staring out
looking
the window.
At the wall. Yeah.
where the
actual relaxating things. Relaxating.
I put like a little bit of quiet volume on. I put a bit of Rick Stein, and he's traveling around Cornwall. He's cooking up a lobster.
Crab.
It's always a crab, actually.
Throwing a crab at the wall. He's attacking a window with a cricket bat.
Yeah, and something I find stuff. Really, really relaxing is seeing how many crabs Rick Stein can smash with a hammer in a minute. And if you like it, please subscribe to my YouTube channel.
The Stone Cold Steiner.
But
smashing crabs up.
You hate the TV feel food on TV. You hate the fetishization of food. That's why I brought it to the table.
Literally. Now I am in a house that there's someone else that I'm trying to impress with my cooking.
Do you have access to?
Occasionally, it's a woman I have access to. God, that sounds even worse than the dog one. I will occasionally flirt with food television, but latterly more like food recipe websites and stuff. And there's a marked difference, and it's probably been pointed out a million times, but American, the difference between American recipes and British recipes, very, very different. British recipes say, you like this, it's fucking dinner. Here's the bits you put in the pan and you cook it for this amount of time and the food comes out. Americans, they write like, I was first in Tuscany in the decade
of
1989.
Yeah.
The sun was in the east and I rose to a great breakfast of bread. We're not going to be talking about that bread, though. I first met my wife in 1993. It's like, just get to the fucking, like, you could be writing anything. I'm not reading it. Jesus. Yeah.
Do you know what my husband's favourite food is?
I don't care. Just tell me how to cook.
Do you know what my husband's second favourite food is? It's pineapple. His third favourite food is spaghetti bolognese, and his fourth is lamb. But we're going to be cooking beef today. Yeah, it's really. I share the house. The lady I have access to is obviously from we're going to continue this theme. Obviously, yeah. He's from America. And right. So she has brought with her a, I don't know what the collective noun is for cookbooks, a quart of American cookbooks over. And they've all got that in it, you're right.
They've got one recipe. I think one recipe in yeah. each of them.
I think food TV, though, is a good relaxing thing. It's a great thing to have, particularly when you've got someone like Rick Stein, who, let's be absolutely clear, is living the life. He is living the life that all of us should aspire to when we hit his age. I think, what is he, late 60s? Probably, maybe 70? If you're doing what he's doing when you're 70, you're having a lovely time.
Well, I think there's two kind of lifestyle gurus, food and drink wise, that I kind of subscribe to. It's Vish from the Football Ramble and Laurent Robert, the footballer. They're both just constantly eating nice food, drinking the best wines, and running.
No, hang on a sec. Let me clear this up. I cannot vouch for Laurent Robert, so you're on your own with him.
Right. Okay.
Vish, what you've just described there, is a man with absolutely ridiculous patterns because he's up early doing cricket coverage at like 2 a.m. and he gets pissed all the time and buys takeaway food. That's what you're talking about. That for you is your food guru.
He drinks great wines, and he's always he never puts it on his main feed, but he puts it on his Instagram stories, and it's just loads of good wine. There he's gone back to playing his Merindangam. He was telling us about his Merindangam. You know, like the drum, you hear them at weddings quite a lot. I'll play a bit. Merindangam. Yeah,
that's a vibe,
isn't it? It's good. It's got like each individual finger has a. It's like 10 drummers are drumming at the same time. It's crazy.
Is that going to sort my headache out? Because at the moment, only Rick Stein will do the trick.
Get Vish next time you're allowed in the office with him. You know, get him to drum on your head. He's got very rhythmic fingers.
That'd be brilliant.
He's got very strong fingers.
Pete, what's your kind of secret to removing a headache?
I have been, my partner likes to watch a show about, is it like first day weddings or something? You get married on the first day.
Married at First Sight?
Married at First Sight Australia.
Or as you call it, first day weddings. I reckon one day you might get the name of something right by accident.
First day weddings.
Your name of shit is fucking terrible.
Look, I've been on the computer all day. I'm tired. First day weddings, you know, Australia, Aussie style. She's been watching a bit of that, and I've just been playing Football Manager. And I never play Football Manager, but she was watching that, and I was like, all right, well, I don't necessarily want to give that even 60% of my attention. But the problem is, it's so addictive and so watchable, and everyone's either a farmhand or an absolute psychopath. They're just gigantic men who were grown in grain silos and left for the big smoke. And these women, who some of which are lovely, but there's one in particular who's very much taken it on herself to become the Nasty Nick of Married for the First Time, First Day Australia. And she's laying on way too thick. She's not that good an actor to take on the mantle of the world's most hated woman. And she's not creative enough. She's not worked on the character enough. She's found wanting for me. I don't like her work, but it's not for the reasons that everybody else hates her. It's for the reason that she hasn't put enough investment in crafting the world's most evil person.
If you had to do a reality TV, because the thing is, what you're alluding to there is absolutely right, because people who are going to be on reality TV now know what's going to happen, right? It attracts a certain type of individual who knows what they're in for, whereas before it never used to do that, and therefore for me it was more interesting. But if you were forced to go on a reality show, what character would you adopt?
I would I would go on Dancing on Ice, and I would get some kind of hot knees. I would get like battery powered, like really hot metal plated knees, and I would slide on my knees even when I wasn't asked to, and I would irreparably damage the ice, and the show would just have to stop because I'd fuck the ice up.
Some people just want to watch the world melt.
Melt slightly.
And on that note, we're going to take an ad break, come back and do some of your emails. That is chilling, Pete Donaldson, but it's what we've come to expect from you.
It's the very reverse of chilling, clearly.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Stakhanov's brand new show, My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson, launches this Wednesday. Clive will be quizzing some of the world's most interesting celebrities, including Griff Rhys-Jones and Shappi Khorsandi, about their own personal Seven Wonders of the World. Join Clive and his first guest, Dara O'Brien, this Wednesday. Dara talks to Clive about his love for the Irish sport hurling and some of the extra benefits that come with owning a hurley stick.
It's just pleasant to have a big stick in the house every so often. For home security, it's always nice to know that I have an arsenal if I need it.
I'll bear that in mind if I'm tempted to burgle your house in the middle of the night.
Just do it. Honestly, that's how I stand. I stand naked with my Irish testicles dangling, challenging people.
They discuss finding humour in quantum physics.
It's like saying, is the cat dead or not? Would somebody just open the box?
And discovering new passions during lockdown.
Lockdown ran a schism, essentially, between the young comics who immediately went, I must learn new skills. I must learn video editing or TikTok. And I must find new ways to bring my comedy to people. And the older comics went, yeah, retirement's going to be all right, actually. I sit in the garden. Turns out, you know, it's okay.
It's not too bad.
Search My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson on your favourite podcast player to hear the first episode this Wednesday.
Oh, we're back. Hope you enjoyed the ad breaks and promotional materials from the Stakhanov stable. Yeah. I'm Pete, joined by Luke. We're going to get some of your emails, if that's all right with you. We sometimes don't have enough time to get through them, but we will this time. We'll give you a few.
Yeah, I got an email here from Stuart, and I'm speaking as one of said horses in that stable.
Yeah.
Although I probably need to be put out to the glue factory by now. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say seed, but that sounded a bit rude. Like
stud is seed.
Stud. Yeah. But I think if you put a horse out to stud, it just ends up doing shagging all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's not going out to seed, isn't that? Because out to seed is like looking terrible, isn't it? Like,
is it?
I've given up. I thought it was I've given up. That's how my friend used to say, I've gone to seed. And I thought it was like he'd given up. But then gone to seed must be a literal translation of going to stud, surely.
I think so. I think I don't want to kind of attribute that to myself because it sounds rude. So glue factory it is. Yeah. Right. Stuart has been in touch.
But the glue has come.
I read Stuart's email, which has nothing to do with cum, because actually I've invested...
I'm going to do that. I will link it somehow to cum.
I've invested so much time in this email by removing all the libel from it that I'm reading it.
Okay.
Because otherwise it's a waste. So this is from Stuart, who says, hi, guys. I'm currently catching up with some shows and just listening to the episode where you guys talk about job inductions. Anyway... I'm from a place called South Queensferry, just outside Edinburgh, and I've had tons of jobs from the age of 14. And when I turned 16, I received my national insurance card and went to get a, quote, proper job. This job happened to be at a well-known sports shop in Edinburgh. I've changed the wording on that. I got the bus in one Saturday morning for my induction, and this induction was basically to read a massive manual that must have been 1,000 pages long. And needless to say, I didn't read a single page of it. I just sat in the staff room, and when I say staff room, it was a cupboard with a couple of chairs and a microwave. 30 minutes later, the manager came in and gave me a sports... I can't say that either. Gave me a T-shirt and said the next stage is to be on the shop floor helping the customers. This turned out to be on the tills on my own for 4 hours with no clue what was happening or how to use anything at all. The reason I was on my own is because 4 other staff members had quit the day before, so it was me and the manager who just sat in the office doing nothing. Eventually, I just left the tills and went to the office and said to the manager to come and help me, and he said no. So I handed him my T-shirt back and said I'm leaving and walked out past a massive line of angry people trying to buy golf balls and Lonsdale T-shirts. Needless to say, I didn't get paid.
That narrows it down, doesn't it?
Needless to say, I kept that bit in to be cheeky. I didn't get paid for that induction either. And on a side note, Luke mentioned his phone is listening to him. At Christmas, my partner received a small batch of whiskey as a present. I've never heard of the brand, and we talked about it without typing anything into our phones or computers. And the next day, all over my Instagram was adverts for that same brand. They are always listening. Thanks for helping keep me sane. I'm not working at a sports shop anymore. Stuart.
Well, I would like to... great story. I wonder how... I would have dealt with that situation. I probably would have tried my very best, fucked everything off, and said owner of shop may have sold my football club because of all of the money that I lost him that day.
Part of the reason, Pete, to read that email is because I also used to work in the sports shop, you know, and I thought it was great.
Right. Is that you giving like BBC Balance, saying that you enjoyed your time at the sports shop?
We actually spoke to someone else from that sports shop, Stuart, and he's had a lovely time. And he's actually now assistant manager. He got promoted because he worked hard.
So enjoy crying about it. We'll collect it in a big oversized cup, shall we?
Yeah, when I was at the sports shop, I worked with a friend of mine, Mark, who you know, who's done a lot of, he works in press now. He's done a lot of coverage for us, of our shows down the years. And he's a year older than me, and he was like a terrible influence on me. I was just a Saturday boy, and he had been there longer. And he would literally, like, I know this sounds ridiculous. This is probably 1997, 98. So a long time ago now. But honestly, mate, he used to literally tell customers to fuck off to their face. Like, he would be like, right, it's 5:30, fuck off. I remember him once getting so pissed off with a customer that he legged it down the middle of the aisle of the shop and out of frustration, booted a massive stack of sports shorts off the shelf. Right, and a load of them hit a kid in the face. Like, he was ab- absolutely like off the chain.
Out of control.
He didn't care. He's doing really well now, but that, back then he was like, honestly, I found it very aspirational.
Apparel salesman.
Yeah, yeah. He would literally 5:30 go and grab the shut at the front of the door, pull it halfway down, and go, customers, fuck off.
No more respect than they deserve, in my humble opinion.
That company's gone out of business, by the way. Possibly related. I don't know.
Good.
Yeah, their hiring policies were very, very loose.
Our mutual friend by the name of David, it's not important what his second name is. It's not important to besmirch his good name by saying he listens to the Luke and Pete Show. Did point out, you were talking about your iPhone listening to you and serving you up adverts through things that it's heard. And I think we'd spoke about it maybe a couple of years ago, and I poo-pooed it as being computationally just unable. It just wouldn't work because, you know, you would need a data set of example sentences and words that's really, really big, and that can only be stored on a server somewhere in, usually my favourite place to talk about servers, Iceland, with free electricity.
A lot of Zoom ones are in Germany, apparently.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Exciting. So, nice. Well, at least we can travel through our Zoom conversations. Yeah. But it would be copied. The processors in your phone aren't fast enough to work it out reliably. It would just take too much data to send back and forth.
So how's it happening then?
Well, it's not happening. It's just a lot of it is circumstantial evidence in many ways.
Have you got your tinfoil hat on or not? Because I don't want to be a part of this if you haven't.
It's tinfoil hat, but my head is smeared with conductive thermal paste. Yeah. But Cooper was asking me as if to go, you don't actually
You've now used
that.
His surname. You've now used his surname.
Did I? Oh, shit.
What was he saying? What was his point anyway?
His point was not that he was disappointed in you. He was disappointed in me for agreeing with you. That's how low you've sunken, Lukma. That's how low you've sunken.
That's fair enough. I think it's happening. I think just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not really after you. And I think by definition, there's lots of technology we don't learn about till later. That's what I'll leave it there.
Good
wink.
Point.
Leave it there.
Good leave it point. There. Shall we shuffle off and come back on Thursday? We've got so much stuff to get through on Thursday, including what can only be described as chimpanzee on chimpanzee war. This has been the Luke and Pete Show. We'll be back on Thursday.
That's going to be fucking brilliant. Come back for that.
Get in touch. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com and find us on Instagram at lukeandpeteshow.
And I'll leave you with this. It's not every day you find out about a full-on chimpanzee war. And Thursday, we're going to go over the protagonist, the belligerents.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.